Welcome to Rooting For You, a seasonal gardening podcast for non-experts. I'm Tess, and I know nothing.
And I'm Elise, and I know some things.
Each week, we'll chat about one gardening topic, and then discuss the effort-reward payoff by asking, is the juice worth the squeeze? Just a heads up, there might be a bit of swearing in this episode. You've been warned. I feel like today is going to be a really fun episode. We're talking about chilies, and what I think is most exciting about chilies is that there are so many varieties on offer, so there's got to be something for everyone. Now, last year I tried to grow jalapenos, and I had what can only be described as a massive fail. Zero fruit. So today's episode is right up my alley. Now, at least to start, let's talk about some of your favourite varieties and maybe get our listeners a little bit excited to grow their own chilies.
I'm going to be really boring and say my favourite's the jalapenos also. Oh.
I love jalapenos. How good are they?
They're so good. And the reason I think they work so well is they're not too hot.
That's a problem for me, the too hot factor.
Because I want to actually taste the rest of my food. Yeah. And if they're too hot...
Without your mouth being burned off.
Exactly. Like, I didn't sign up for a bowl of spice. I want chili as one of the many flavours. And then also with the jalapenos, you can put a few of them in and you're still getting the flavour, whereas it's not like, okay, I'm going to put in one thin slice and it's going to impact on the whole meal. So they're like spicy enough that you get chili, but mild enough that you don't need to be precious about it.
Mm.
They're my pick. They're also really easy to grow, which I'm saying right as Tess said she had a monumental fail. But no, I do think they're a great variety. I grow them every year. I'm sad that they didn't go well for you.
We've spoken about, I think this fail falls into the same category as a couple of the other fails I had last year of not implementing crop rotation.
I would also suggest, I don't even know where you planted them, but I'm also going to think it could be a sunlight issue.
It was dappled light, so
lots of issues.
Potentially lots of issues. So anyway, it doesn't matter. That's in the past, onwards and upwards.
Well, you know why you failed? Because we hadn't done the chili episode yet.
So now we're doing the episode and I'll be able to give it another crack.
Exactly. Chilies are very interesting crops and I do think they're a brilliant one for beginners, but they are a little bit strange. So here's the tidbit to start with. Chilies are actually perennial, stay in the ground all year round plants.
Oh, Tessa's even the jalapeno.
Yes, but there's a big but. They love the heat. They're obsessed with the heat. Mm-hmm. So for us in the south of Australia, it's actually too cold to grow them as perennial, stay in the ground all year round. So we grow them as annuals, the same as we do grow zucchinis and tomatoes. They follow that same seasonal pattern, but actually they're not annuals.
Can you grow chilies inside?
Yes.
If you're growing chilies inside, can you treat it as a perennial stay in the ground all year round?
You can, yes.
There you go.
I know. So I have successfully grown chilies all year round on a very sunny windowsill, and they were great.
I like that a lot.
Mm. I loved it too. I mean, now I don't bother because I have a greenhouse, right? But failing that, the indoor thing works really well. The other thing you can do, of course, is grow them in pots, have them outside for half the year and then bring them inside or under cover for the other half.
Do each different variety like require a different size pot, or is it the same kind of thing? If you have it in a smaller pot, you're just going to get less fruit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, cool.
Exactly. Now, having said this though, many people, including myself, will grow plenty of chilies as annuals hard and fast over spring, summer, autumn, and then they just pull them out in winter. That's what I do for a lot of my chilies, okay? So if you just want to approach them like annuals, absolutely be my guest. Doesn't actually matter that they're perennials, but the options are there for people.
That is a fabulous little tidbit.
I reckon most people wouldn't know.
Yeah.
In fact, I reckon the first few years I grew them, I wouldn't have even known they were perennials. But again, terms don't matter. What matters is we grow good food. What is essential about this is we have to plant our chilies in spring.
Yes.
Because these are perennial stay in the ground all year round that we're growing as a hard and fast annual. So we really need to give this plant the maximum amount of time at the maximum heat we can. It's non-negotiable. Do not plant a chili plant in summer or autumn and think you're going to get any fruit. You won't.
And in terms of spring, I mean, we're doing this episode, it's kind of the first few weeks of spring. Now's the time. Okay.
They really hate the cold. They really love the warmth. So it's not like first day of spring we would have planted them. We wouldn't.
Yeah. We've had a pretty shoddy start to spring this year here in Melbourne. So look, you couldn't have put them in before.
No, I actually think you couldn't have. Yeah. No. So I've put some in my greenhouse, but I wouldn't put them outside yet.
Okay.
So probably in the next couple of weeks, maybe yeah, maybe by the time this episode's airing, yeah, you'd put them out now. So it's a spring planter, but it's not a first day of spring we're out there.
Yeah, and if you listen to our episode last week about Elise's seedling hack, I mean, maybe you can go, when you go into the nursery, buy a whole bunch. You can keep them somewhere where it's warm and safe at home, and then when we start to see the temperature rising in the forecast, maybe that's your time.
That's actually what I do with chilies.
Mm.
Because like we discussed in the heat mat episode, they need a really warm germination temperature. Yes. So I am not interested in growing chilies from seed. I don't bother. What I do is exactly what Tess just said, which is exactly what we talked about last week. I buy a tray of like six little ones and then I pop them up bigger and then plant them out. Once they've grown a bit. And look, for me, it's very Cobram. So I probably won't plant those babies out until kind of the last 4 weeks of spring.
Mm-hmm.
But they've already got some decent size on them. I wouldn't want to be planting a seed in the last 4 weeks of spring.
Mm.
Big difference. Mm. Not good.
The last 4 weeks we've just had of spring, not the last 4 weeks of spring before summer.
No, sorry, I mean the last 4 weeks of spring before summer.
Oh, right.
So I would keep my little chilies in pots kind of under cover on a windowsill or in that until the last 4 weeks of spring.
Right, got it.
Right before summer.
Okay.
But again, it depends on how the weather is.
Yes.
And again, I wouldn't want to be planting a seed in the last 4 weeks of spring.
No, of course not.
No, too cold. So the age-old question, seed or seedling, I think it's pretty clear what my opinion is.
Yes.
Seedling all the way. If you want to grow from seed, high five to you, get a heat mat.
Mm, yep.
Or have them somewhere very warm because they really need a warm germination temperature.
Mm.
Probably the warmest one I can think of that each of us at home would be growing. With the varieties, the other reason why I'm not hating the seedlings is you can get a very good variety of chili seedlings at nurseries, unlike other crops we've discussed, like pumpkins, where you can't. So given I can go to a nursery, I can get 10 different types of chilies, maybe more. I'm pretty happy with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you're not happy with that, you're probably pretty hardcore, so you've got this heat mat germination thing down pat.
Okay, so you mentioned a moment ago that they love sun.
Yeah.
What else do we need to be thinking about in terms of planting? How much space do they need? I mean, full sun, how much space do they need?
Full sun.
Mm-hmm.
They really love the heat. I'm not sure if I've said that enough times already. So when you pick a planting spot, say you're in a suburban backyard, you've got a veggie garden right next to a brick wall. That actually can be a really good place to plant your chilies up against, because that brick wall is going to absorb the sun, absorbs heat through the day, and then kind of radiate a nice warmth. Some plants would hate that. Chilies will love it.
Mm.
So the warmest, most protected part of your garden.
Okay.
Obviously, if you're further north in Australia and it's warmer, you know, you're not, like, your chilies are going to be kind of happier. But in the southern parts, really pick your warmest spot.
Mm-hmm.
Full sun. The other little tidbit when you're planting your chilies is, like I talked about in the zucchini episode a couple of weeks ago, you can plant them out but then have them undercover. So that whole little plastic cloche thing, half a milk carton, apple juice container, whatever, chilies love that because it's like a little warm incubator for them. So that's a really good way to like give them a head start in the spring colder months.
I feel like we're really hammering this home. They love the heat.
Look, if that's all you get from this episode, you've done well.
So in terms of spacing, when we're putting our chilies out, how much space they normally like?
Well, actually not that much. Plant them quite close together. They're quite small. As far as fruiting crops go, I can't actually think of, maybe beans is a smaller one, but I don't even know if beans is considered a fruiting crop. I stuffed this up on the bean episode. It's like a legume or something.
Oh, right.
Don't know.
Anyway, oh, well, whatever.
I don't know. Who cares?
It produces something, so.
Exactly. It's a food crop. They can go really close together, like 30 centimetres. Apart.
That's pretty good because you can get a few in.
You can. So you can grow quite a few different varieties. But then again, right, like how many chilies does one eat? Not that many. So really just one or two of these plants is probably going to do you.
That's true. But something that I would really like to talk about is preserving.
Mm, I would too. But I feel like we should talk about this come autumn when we'll be doing it.
Yes, great idea. We'll do an autumn episode.
Come back to that.
Yes, when it's in the moment.
Exactly. This spacing issue brings up another topic that I'm sure is going to be very exciting for small space gardeners. They're great in pots.
Oh, that's great.
Because you don't need that big of a pot, right?
Yeah.
If you're on a balcony and you want to grow food, amazing. Chilies would probably be the only fruiting crop that I think you could really nail in a really small space.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of them are probably going to be leafy crops.
Yes, okay.
So it doesn't need a lot of space. A pot, great. Grow bag, great.
Fabulous.
Quite small. Chilies also really love a free draining soil. So this is when, you know, when you put water on soil and if it's really clayey and heavy, the water just kind of pools on there and doesn't drain through.
Mm-hmm.
Chilies hate that. So if you've got that type of soil, or just you don't even know what type of soil you got, but planting it in a pot or a raised garden bed will always be free draining just by the nature of it. Water's yep. never going to pool in a pot. If it is, you've got a big problem. So they actually do quite like pots for that reason. So pots or raised garden beds. I grow mine all in raised garden beds because I find them easier to manage the watering situation. But I have grown them in pots before. And yeah, you will get a really good harvest in quite a small pot. So whatever works for you. The other advantage about the pots is it gives us that flexibility to move the chilies around. So if you do want to try out the whole overwintering your chilies, you can pick up the pot and put it somewhere that is more protected over winter, whether it be in a greenhouse or a sunny part of the house or whatever. And then also if you've got a warmer place in the garden, you know, against that brick wall, you might put the pots there and try chilies out, and then you can move them. So given they do, again, like the heat, being able to have that flexibility to move them around I think is quite handy. So this may be my number one pot plant.
Right. Wow.
And you know how much I don't like pots.
Yeah.
Oh no, strawberries. I love strawberries in pots.
Yes.
Okay, second to the strawberries.
But that's, I mean, I love this for small space gardeners.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's
I
a
can
win.
Just see it. You've got some lettuce greens, you've got your herbs, you've got your strawberries, you've got your chilies. Like, how wonderful is that for a balcony garden?
Brilliant. Brilliant. And even an inside garden.
Yes,
like
yes.
You can imagine inside, like the pot I had this chili plant in was not very big and I was getting chilies. So, you know, wins. Bang for buck. Think about the footprint of your chili plant in your garden, whether your garden be big or small. It's a pretty small footprint and you are going to get, I mean, you know, providing you follow all the other steps we've discussed, unlike yeah. you, you're going to get a lot of chilies, right?
Like yeah,
I
great. Think
it's a very efficient use of space in the garden,
yeah.
which for a small-scale gardener is more important than for us with a bit more space.
Now we're jumping ahead to squeezy juice, so let's get back to how we grow.
Okay, you're right. Soil prep, usual discussion for a fruiting crop, compost, well-rotted manure, going to go down really well.
Mm-hmm.
This is also going to help create that free-draining soil that the chilies like. So Bob's your uncle, double win there. If you're growing in pots, like I always say, either use a fresh potting mix or kind of refresh your potting mix from last year.
Because
they are a fruiting crop, so they are heavier on the feeding.
Yes, yes. Okie dokie. So we've got what we're going to be growing, where we're going to be growing. Anything else you want to talk about before we get on to maintenance of our chilies?
No, I think we're all good. I think we've got this.
Okay, brilliant. What are we worried about in terms of slugs and snails? Do they like the chilies? Are they...
Well, surprisingly, not much.
Oh.
Surprisingly, not much. It doesn't seem to have a lot of pests in the garden.
That's fabulous. Any other diseases we need to worry about?
Not really.
Oh, gosh, this is good.
They're pretty easy. I think, you know, a lot of sprays to deter pests have, like, chili in them. So I don't know if the leaves actually have some of that kind of fieriness to them and that keeps the bugs away, but I really don't ever see anything eating them.
How interesting.
I know. So I really, once I've planted them, the only thing that's ever caused me problems is if I haven't timed it right. I've planted it too early and it's been too cold. That's the only way I've ever lost a chili seedling.
Mm-hmm.
They just grow for the most part.
I mean, this is sounding fabulous. I mean, it wasn't my experience, but... We'll leave that to
your
one
plant
side.
Grew.
Yeah, my plant grew.
Your chilies didn't. Now, the thing is with the chilies, look, there's 100 reasons why yours may not have worked. But remember also, this is a fruiting crop that needs the flowers. So at first the plant will produce flowers and then those flowers will turn into fruit. So if you don't have the requisite nutrients to create the flowers, you're not going to get
fruit.
So really the same discussion we had for zucchinis in the problem shooting area, that exact discussion is going to be the same for making sure your chilies are producing. You know, does it have the food it needs? Does it have the sunshine it needs? Did you plant it early enough? Do you have pollinators?
Yeah.
Bang, 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 bang.
In terms of if we are giving them a feed throughout the season, is it the same kind of the tomato fertilizer again because it's a fruiting?
Exactly. What I would do with the chilies and with all fruiting crops is when they're little, you give them the worm tea or the seaweed emulsion, and that just helps create a strong plant in the early days because we don't care about the plant producing flowers at that point. It's too young to worry. It needs to establish itself with the other nutrients. Then come summer, maybe your plants just started putting some flowers on. This is when you go in with the tomato fertilizer, and that's going to give you a bumper crop. So the two variations, but this is the same, you know, we talked about it, even with tomatoes, zucchinis, pumpkins, everything, we're going to start with a more nitrogen high fertilizer and then move to a specific flower fertilizer, also known as a tomato fertilizer. So that's the two things you're going to do. If you've given your plant a really good soil to start with, like I've never had to kind of retrospectively. I've never retrospectively looked at my chilies and thought, shit, I haven't nailed the nutrients here. I'm not getting the flowers and the fruit that I want. Whereas I definitely have with things like tomatoes and zucchini. So I kind of, they're just pretty easy.
Yeah. It's the same as everything. You have to put work into the soil.
You do. I suppose they're just not as heavy feeding and not as finicky as some of your others, even though they're fruiting.
Some of the things that we've spoken about with plants before is like make sure you've got airflow around them, but that's more of a disease prevention thing, which you just said doesn't really impact chilies. Anything like that we have to, staking, anything else we need to worry about?
Well, actually, you've just flagged the last two pointers on my little list here. Staking, yes. We actually, you don't have to stake them, and sometimes you can get away with not staking them, but I pretty much always do. And if you're getting a really good crop, that plant is going to be very heavy and it's quite top heavy, right? Because it's a small plant. It can fall over, especially if you have like a really heavy wind or something. I would absolutely stake it just with a small bamboo stake.
Okay.
Now, I want to flag this early because you don't want the chili plant to get huge and then you're looking at it thinking, I've now got to stake it, because you're going to be trying to put a stake in close to the roots. You're going to damage the roots when you put it in. You're also going to, it's just a bit difficult to do when you've got this big plant, right? So hear me now. When you plant your seedling, put your stake in. It's going to serve no purpose for a month or two.
Approximately how far away from the stem should you put your stake?
Like 10 centimetres.
Okay. Oh, that's quite far.
Maybe. Yeah, 10 centimetres.
Okay.
You could probably go 5.
Mm-hmm.
But put it in early and just ignore it until you need it. And then the day that you look at your chili plant and you're like, oh, this thing's actually got quite big, I want to stake it, Bob's your uncle. It's
yep,
there.
Already just done it.
Tied on. Exactly. And you're not going to be disturbing the roots. No problems. To do that, some chili plants will grow bigger than others. This is not like one a tiny and one's a monster, but they are kind of varying. So some varieties will be more likely to need staking than other varieties. I find the milder varieties, including the old jalapeno, tend to do better, surprisingly, or they're less finicky. So they actually can get quite big, those plants. I find the really hot ones, like I've grown the ghost chili, which is like a white chili, and it's like you just smell the thing and you die, basically. I would never grow it again because it was actually too hot to use.
Yeah.
Like I didn't use it. I couldn't use it.
Yeah.
What was the point? It was just fun,
entertainment
right?
It was.
That plant was actually quite small. It did have a lot of chilies on it. It was quite small, so I didn't need to stake that one. But my jalapenos always do. The other thing you mentioned is the mulching, and chilies really love a mulch of straw.
Oh, nice one.
Absolutely. It keeps the soil kind of moist and cool. It does great things for them. So whether it be in a pot, in a grow bag, in a raised garden bed, in the ground, put some straw around it. Any straw, pea straw, lucerne, whatever.
So here's when we would normally talk about harvesting, but we've just decided we're going to do a preserving episode when it comes time in autumn. So let's do harvesting and preserving then together when people are actually doing it.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be a lot more relevant to you
Of the moment.
Of the moment. But in the meantime, you know, plant your chilies early and then feed them well and you'll be tuning
early but not too early.
Early but not too early. Or cover them.
It has to be warm. Or cover them. Actually, that's a really good point. You just cover them up.
Yeah.
If you go too early.
Which is what I usually do.
Yes.
Just to be safe. And it will give them a head start because the warmer it is, the faster they grow. So you will get chilies earlier if you've covered them than if you haven't.
Do they like a lot of water?
They do in the sense of they need to stay moist, but they also really like the heat, which requires a bit of water to kind of maintain that.
Yep.
And the mulching will help with the moisture retention. Like all fruiting crops, if they dry out, they're not going to fruit.
So the big question, is the juice worth the squeeze? This is where we look at the effort-reward ratio of today's topic. The categories are superstar, high effort, high reward. Completing this will make you feel like an absolute rock star. Best on ground, low effort, high reward. Quick wins and fill-ins, low effort, low reward. And finally, the wooden spoon. High effort, but not much reward.
Tess, this is a crop that you've tried before and failed, but we didn't have the knowledge that you have now. What are you thinking for squeezy juice and what are you thinking for your garden this spring?
So had I not failed before, I would have said best on ground based off everything that you've said. Mm-hmm. I like that it is small, it's not super finicky, you don't have to worry about a whole lot of pests and diseases and things. I mean, all you're pretty much doing is chucking a stake in it and putting some mulch on. So it seems like it's low maintenance. I would normally say best on ground, but I had a fail. So maybe it still is best on ground if you get it right.
I think most beginner gardeners fail with this crop because the nurseries sell chili seedlings all through summer. So I think a lot of people, maybe it's like Boxing Day and they're thinking, oh, I'm going to
chuck some chilies in.
Some chilies in. It's just not enough time for a fruiting crop to fruit.
Mm.
So that would be my number one tip if you've had a fail. I mean, we can't remember. Tess and I discussed this earlier. We can't remember when she planted them or what the situation was.
I've blocked it from my mind.
But first off, don't stuff that up. But yeah, look, I'm going best on ground, of course.
Rooting For You is hosted by Elise and Tess. You can find us on Instagram @rootingforyoupod or email rootingforyou@elisealexandra.com.